John's Gospel, please. Chapter 13 is the passage that we want to talk a bit about this morning. Now, it's certainly good to be with you. And trust the Lord will bless each one. Nice to hear the worship and the adoration of our hearts for the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to read some verses from this chapter. And I've just been noticing recently that there are four divisions in this particular chapter of John's Gospel. I'm going to read a little from each section and then say something about it and move on. So if you have your Bible close, John's Gospel chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord's answer is in verse 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, he that is bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Look at verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, yet also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, that's the first reading. I'm just going to say one or two simple things about John's Gospel. It's a very involved subject, but we want to just summarize it and be as simple as possible that all understand what we're talking about. We often point out John wrote his gospel approximately 60 years after the Lord's death, burial, and crucifixion, and much of his content is not known in the other gospels. But you see, there was likely a generation that passed on into eternity, and the ones that he was writing to maybe weren't on earth at the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I notice very simply that there, in the general view of this John's Gospel, of the 21 chapters, leaving the prologue and the epilogue to the one side, there are three simple divisions. You see, from chapter 1 to chapter 12, it said in chapter 1, for example, he came unto his own things, and his own people received them not. And everything there in that section shows the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the seven sign miracles that he performed. He showed beyond the shadow of a doubt he's the eternal Son of God, as he moved in the nation of Israel. When you come to chapter 13, He's now restricted his ministry. He leaves the nation and he goes to the upper room, the house in Jerusalem. And from chapter 13 to chapter 17, we have the upper room ministry. And he has seven secrets that he unfolds to his own that he didn't unfold to the world of men. Very interesting. And then from chapter 18 to the end of the gospel, we have the sorrows of the Son of God. And there are seven there as well, if you take time to look at them. So that brings us to our chapter, chapter 13. I want to suggest to you that the four simple ways of looking at the divisions of that chapter. Number one, there's a ministry and a teaching given that surrounds the basin. That's what we have read about in the first section, verses 1 to 17. In the next section there, from verse 18 to verse 30, we have the ministry of the bosom. You see, the Lord's bosom is referred to, and John lay in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31, verse 35, it's another section. And the teaching there has to do metaphorically with the badge. And the badge has to do with the love that we have for the Lord Jesus and love for one another. Closing section then, from verse 35 to verse 36 to verse 38, we have the ministry of the boast. Peter boasted that he would lay down his life for the Lord Jesus, but he didn't know his own weakness, as we'll see, and it turned out different. So if you have your Bible handy there and just look these sections with us. Now, we won't take time to look at all the verses. It wouldn't be proper or appropriate. But here is the overview. Teaching that surrounds the basin. You have your Bible open. Look at verses 1 to 3. Here's the divine omniscience, the all-knowing Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that his hour had come. He knew that he was going to God. He knew that God sent him. And he knew that Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, would betray him. In that environment, we learn of the divine service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see in these verses from 4 to 11, we have read some of them. He began to wash the disciples' feet. And then from verse 12, verse 17, is the teaching that occurs and that he developed in this particular incident. So we'll just major for a few minutes on the ministry, the teaching that surrounds the basin. When the Passover supper was over, he laid aside his garments. And by the way, the institution of the Lord's Supper is not mentioned in John's Gospel. It's mentioned in the first three Gospels, but not here. And this environment here has to do with the last Passover. And that's where we're just about to talk about. There's a reason for that. And that's not our scope this morning, but we'll talk about that another time. So he takes a basin, and he pours water in it, and he takes a towel, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. You see, that's the work of a bond slave, to wash the feet of the guests that have come at the desire and command of the host of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the deity, and the eternal Son of God, he takes upon himself in this particular thing that he did, wash the disciples' feet, the position of a bond servant. And think of a scripture just like this, is from Philippians chapter 2, how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Must have been a tremendous thing for these disciples to watch the Lord bow at their feet, and all 12 of them he washed, Judas Iscariot included. When he came to Peter thought so much about the Lord Jesus Christ that he thought that it was below the dignity of the Lord Jesus for to be the one that was washing the feet. So Peter said to the Lord, "Dost thou wash my feet?" And he said he didn't want the Lord to do it. And the Lord come back and said, "Well, Peter, if you don't want me to wash your feet, you have no partner, not in me." And so he gives the teaching. And he says there in verse 10 and inward, he says, you know, the one that is washed, the word is bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet. So that text, I take it, tells us a little of the initial final act that the Lord told them. He's not there to bathe them. He's there to wash their feet. And that answers to our conversion to God, salvation. A once for all act, once saved, always saved. Unto my sheep eternal life, they shall never perish. But then the washing is a different thing. You see, he wants to show them that they contact defilement and it has to be dealt with. It's just like, for example, in Leviticus chapter 8, the consecration of the high priest and his sons and the Levites. You see, they were washed once, but they never were washed and bathed like that again. Before they went into the holy place, they had to go to the laver, wash their hands and feet and so on. So that shows us that even though we're saved, even though we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, we can be defiled in this ungodly world. And so the picture is, these disciples, as they moved on this occasion through the streets of Jerusalem, where they had sandals on their feet, contacted the dust of the way. And that was what the Lord washed. That's the cleansing ministry. And then the towel speaks of the comforting ministry that he gave to his own. So the Lord help us to appreciate more than ever, especially in the days in which we live. It's so easy for a believer to contact defilement. And so we are cleansed by the washing of water by the word, reading the Holy Scriptures and confessing our sin and so on. And then, of course, we enjoy the comfort of the Lord Jesus through the Holy Scriptures, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So it's good to remind our hearts that in this defiling scene, it's possible for a believer on a daily basis to contact defilement. And without going into any details, we have the responsibility to do something about it. When 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and so on. I know it's a different context, but it at least gets the point across that any of us can contact defilement, and we need to do something about it. And he teaches another great thought, that the doctrine of humility. No one humbled themselves. like the Lord Jesus. Now he says, what I have done to you, I have left you an example. You do one another, washing one another's feet. Maybe it's more in a metaphorical sense rather than a physical sense. And we're to help one another and aid one another and care for one another and do all we can to advance the testimony, especially in these days. Now, much more can be said. We move on. You have your Bible handy. Look at verse number 18 of John's Gospel, chapter 13. This is part of the second section. You see, he says, for example, in verse number 18, I speak not of you all, but I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's the quotation from Psalm 41. Now then, he tells them that Judas is going to betray him, and here's how he gets to the point. He says, for example, look at verse 22. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. That's what we want to talk about for a minute or two. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be that he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Look at verse number 30. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. And that's the second section that we want to talk about. Here now is the ministry of the bosom. It's the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is the one that lay in the bosom. We want to point out that he wasn't favored in any way, but this position was offered and was for any of the disciples, apart now from Judas Iscariot, he's different, but the other 11, when John was the one that took the step, and he was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. See in this section, if you have your Bible still with you, verses 18 to 21, the Lord makes a prediction unknown to them. One of you shall betray me. See, in these next verses from 22 to 25, we see the reaction of these dear men. They're asking, Lord, who is it? Lord, is it I? And then, of course, the Lord in the next little section, 26 and 27, says, the one that I will give the sop to, he's the one that will betray me. As those men looked on and watched, they never thought for a minute, likely, that it was Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. He took the sop, and immediately when the Lord gave it to him, that thou doest, he said to him, do quickly, and he went out. And it was night. I take that to mean that Judas Iscariot was not at the Lord's Supper, as some were trying to tell us. But as 1 Corinthians 11 says on this very point, when he was being betrayed, the Savior of the world took bread. Those two incidents were happening in parallel. I don't know what you think about that, but it's a very sad thing about Judas. They didn't realize what was involved. Now, here's another point and suggestion to you. See, before the sop, when he took the sop, Satan entered into him. He had a choice to make. He could have said no to the Savior. He said yes, and he took the sop. Scripture was being fulfilled, and he was never put on the world to be damned, but he made his own choice. Now, we can just lift one simple idea here in this section, and that is the teaching surrounding the bosom. It's the very close place near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can make an application to our day and generation and our service that we need to keep close to the Lord Jesus Christ. John was the one that learned more of the secrets of divine purpose than maybe the other disciples. For example, he knew the great prophetic program that God had for the world and for the universe and for the coming world. And Revelation is a very clear indicator that John knew more about those things than maybe the rest. And so if we keep close to the Lord, we can learn the secrets of his heart, and he'll unfold divine things to us when we read the word and consider it and meditate on it. And yet, if we don't take that place, we could be following afar off, and it's the easiest thing in the world to get away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for all who are loyal and who are devoted to the Savior, but it's possible to get away, as we have seen in some incidents in our day and generation. Much could be said about that, but that brings us to the third little section that we want to read about. So if you have your Bible close, verse 31, verse 35 is the next little section. Just read part of it. You see, the Lord indicates in verse 33 that he's going to be glorified and he's going to leave them a little season. And in view of that, he says in verse 34, a new commandment, a fresh commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. This shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So I have called this here teachings that surround the badge, and I'm thinking of it metaphorically, that it represents the affections of our hearts for the Lord Jesus and his affection for us and then for one another. And so it's good to see that verse that we read, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost, to the end. And that includes the cross and all that he endured for them and for us. And is only his great eternal love made our Savior go to die in our stead. Now, the Lord knew all the personalities that were there. We remember that he chose them. And a little part of this section, verses 34 and 35, he gives a command, a fresh command, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this the ungodly will know that ye are my disciples if ye have loved one to another. And the emphasis is on one to another. So Romans 5 shows that the love of God, the love of Christ is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. And so we want to think of the example of the Lord Jesus. Even though they had limitations, these dear men, he loved them the very end. The standard was very high. And he said, now I'm exhorting you, as I have loved you, you love one another. And the testimony that comes out of it, that all will know that you're my disciples indeed. So we pause to make an application. In this day that we live in, same as any other day, but maybe more acute these last few weeks and months, we have all different personalities and all different strengths and weaknesses, and most are different. Some personalities are easier to love than others. But as the Lord says here, no matter what that situation is, he wants us to love one another. And that is shown by our consideration one for the other, and how helpful and how considerate and caring we can be. And it's very appropriate in these days when some are going through awful privations. Some are lonely, some are sad, some are cast down. What an opportunity then to do as the Lord asked his own to do. And in this way, the ungodly all around us will see there's something different about those people. They help one another. And in fact, we can extend it that we love those that the Lord loves and that God loves in John 3:16. And we can show our love to them by telling them the gospel of the grace of God. So the Lord help us then. It's a very practical thing in assembly life and family life and business life, whatever the sphere, to show this consideration and affection one for the other. That brings me to this last little section I want to read to you from the end of the chapter, from verse 36, the last verse. So John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. He's already told them he was going up the chapter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So here's another line that we should be thinking about in these days. I have called this teaching and ministry surrounding the boast. This man, Peter, was the leader of the 12 disciples, as we all know. And the book of the Acts proves that more than ever. We never would have thought that a man that was so loving the Lord Jesus Christ would ever make a boast the way he did. He asked the Lord these questions. Lord, where are you going? And Lord, why can't I go with you now? Now the Lord understood, and he understood the end from the beginning, and he knew all about the strengths of Peter and the weaknesses. And he said, now Peter, the cock won't crow until you have denied me three times. That's the last verse of the chapter. So we can learn a very pertinent teaching from this particular section. You see, none of us know what's on the morrow, and we can make all kinds of observations relative to today and the days ahead, but we might be tested on what we say. Now, that happened to Peter. He didn't know his own weakness, but he loved the Lord. There's no doubt about it. Chapter 21 shows it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yet, Luke 22 shows that he denied the Lord 3 times. And as soon as that happened, the Lord looked at him. And Peter remembered his words. And he went out and he wept bitterly. It's likely that he denied the Lord with the oaths and curses and all the rest of it. Yet he was restored in his soul that night when he went out and wept bitterly. Now what the hymn writer said, was that look that met the Peter? Was that face that Stephen saw? Was that heart that wept with Mary and alone from idol's draw? So none of us are home in heaven yet. And we could, I hope we won't, but we could deny the Lord. And we would never want to do that. And if we're going to be faithful and loyal and true to him, to his word, and the assembly and all the rest of it, we need to keep close to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And yet, the Lord was very, very, very kind. And he was restored without going into all the details. And he was the man that stood that day in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. He was the spokesman, and God used him to see thousands saved by the grace of God. So there it is. It's interesting to think about the upper room ministry. Sometimes we point out that chapter 13 and 14 do more with conditions inside the room, the upper room, that pictures the assembly. And then in the last verse of chapter 14, arise, let us go hence. They likely went out into the darkness of the night and on their way to Gethsemane's garden on the west side of the Mount of Olives. So the Lord help us to appreciate these simple thoughts in our day and put them into practice. John chapter 13, one way of looking at it, 4 simple divisions. It gives us teaching that we need to know a little about and put into practice. The teachings that surround the basin. The lessons and the ministry that surrounds the bosom. And then the teaching that we must consider as we think of loving one another, the ministry of the badge, and then the ministry of the boast that we might learn from Peter's mistakes and by the grace of God do all we can to help in this day. Thank you now for listening again. It's a privilege to be with you and trust the Lord will bless you.